Hi everyone, welcome to the Sobriety Unleashed podcast. I'm Simon.
And I'm Ellen. And today, Simon, we're talking about motivation and mindset in sobriety, which is something that I hear all the time. I really want to give up drinking, but I'm just not motivated at the moment. And of course, motivation, it is something that we have fleetingly, but it always leaves us. So what would be your top tips, Simon, on keeping people motivated?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the big thing to remember, and I apologize if my connection is crappy today, by the way, if you're listening back to the podcast, we're doing it live on YouTube and I'm having a few connection issues, so please bear with. What you have to remember is that motivation is the driving force behind action. So it is really important to make sure that you do feel motivated. And I often encourage people to look back to times in their life when they've been motivated to achieve something and think about what that mindset looked like. You know, it could be having a baby, moving house, changing jobs, a time when you would have smashed obstacles out of your own way. You would have done anything to get to that end goal. And knowing that actually you've already got that ability within you, you just need to tap into it again and harness it in the context of sobriety. So I think knowing that you've already got it is probably the first big step on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And quite often success breeds motivation, doesn't it? So setting tiny little micro goals that you know that you can hit, rather than like with sobriety, oh, I'm going to give up drinking forever. Saying, well, do you know what? I'm going to do 5 days and see how it goes. I'm going to do 10 days and see how it goes. And as you're getting that success and getting those micro wins, you quite often find that the motivation just grows and grows and grows.
Yeah, that's really true. And the goals don't have to be just around days either. You know, it can be different milestones on the journey, going out socially without alcohol for the first time, even going to the shop and not buying booze. I remember the first time I went to the supermarket and didn't buy wine.
Yeah, that's a huge one. Whenever we're in the group talks, having people go to the supermarket for the first time and they're like, I've actually walked past the aisle, I've thought about it and thought, no, that's not what I need, or even giving it the finger. We've had people do that as well, haven't
we? I often say to people, it's like when you walk down the wine aisle after you've quit, it's like seeing an ex in the supermarket, you know, it and that really, uncomfortable really feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. And mindset in sobriety is just key, isn't it? There is no getting away from having the right mindset can completely change your life when it comes to sobriety and any behavior change.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you've got to look at the cost versus the benefit. And, you know, it's actually something people do in business or whenever you're doing a deal. And I think the big reality is that as we get older and our relationship with alcohol changes, so does the deal that alcohol's putting on the table. There's no denying it's a drug and it's got benefits, but then they become so much smaller and the downside becomes so much bigger. So actually mapping out the kind of pros and cons, yeah, what is alcohol taking away, what's it removing from your life versus what you think you're gaining from it, is also another way to get incredibly motivated. And not just what you think you'll gain as well, what you've heard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do think it's really important. For me, there was like a long-term goal of the person that I wanted to be. And I was trying to look at what were the obstacles in the way stopping me from being that person. And this is something I get like clients to do as well, is imagine what they are like in 5 years' time. What's stopping you doing that? And for me, alcohol was a massive factor in that. I didn't know it until I took away alcohol and just gave myself a little break and could see with some space and some clarity. But it's really important. Was the habits that I had at that time building the person that I wanted to become, the person that I saw myself in 5 years' time? And alcohol just didn't factor in there. That, and as soon as I changed my mindset around it, it completely changed. I went from feeling that I was depriving myself from alcohol to feeling just completely free of it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and that sort of also, we've said it on almost every podcast episode, that goes back to knowing your values and what you want in your life, what you don't want in your life. Because how can you picture that person in 5 years' time if you don't understand, if you're not clear on your values?
No, and it's quite unusual. Lots of people just don't think about the person they want to be in 5 years' time. So taking some mindfulness to that, really being aware of what you hope to achieve or who you hope to be then, according to your values, is so important to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. What do you think about motivational quotes?
I love motivational quotes. And in fact, it's really funny. I'll take a photo and post it sometime. My daughter, who's 14, she's got a huge board and it's full of motivational quotes. If you're tired, do it tired. In fact, we got that printed off twice. So it's downstairs as well. We love the whole kind of affirmations and the motivational quotes. It kind of has some visualization for you of somebody reminding you every day. What about you? Do you like them?
Sometimes I find that things like Instagram and Facebook, some of the sobriety groups, can be a bit, you get a bit of an overload of motivational quotes depending on what you follow. But then occasionally I'll see one and it'll really, really speak to me. And I'll often screenshot it, you know, keep it on my phone somewhere. You know, Judy Cook, the one that she shared recently, you know, nothing I do today requires alcohol.
Yeah.
Just, I think, is absolutely brilliant. It's one of the best ones I've heard in a long time. So yeah, some of them I love, and I think just finding the ones that really speak to you, and like you did, print them off, you know, have them somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. We like affirmations as well. And I've said, so the necklace that I've got on, for those who are watching on YouTube can see it, somebody from Instagram sent me this actually, and she sent me a really lovely letter in it. And in it was one of the things saying, I just wanted to remind you, you're worthy of love. And this falls in my face every time I'm doing downward facing dog at yoga. And it always reminds me, it's like a visualization again, something key to remind me, no, I'm worthy of love. I'm worthy of loving myself. Those kind of affirmations and those kind of motivation really, really keep me strong in my sobriety.
Yeah, that's brilliant. You also mentioned about rewards, which I think can be really motivating. I'm a big fan of the kind of carrot and stick approach as well. And I think it depends on the individual. Some people like to have a nice treat to look forward to, and other people respond better to a kick up the backside. How did you now? What was that like in your experience?
Well, I really like, and again, I get people to think about this. What is a reward to me? What did I not do before that I actually really wanted to do? Traveling as a mum, time away on my own, doing what I really wanted to do and being honest with myself. We talked about this, the honesty last week, didn't we? And if I'm really honest with myself, sometimes I like to sit and do nothing by a river, you know, really do nothing. And that is a treat. That's a reward to me. But getting people to really think about, like, how can you treat yourself? How can you reward yourself in a way that's healthy and exciting, something that you've never done before?
And of course, you've got all this money that you've saved that you can put towards treats potentially, but you can also flip it round the other way. You know, if you've got kids, for example, and you're able to be really vulnerable and open with them, you could say, look, once I've done 30 days alcohol free, we're all going to go wherever, to a theme park or something like that. Yeah. And you put a real positive pressure on yourself.
Well, and also with the kids, it's really important that I think there's so much guilt attached to when we drink that we're not the parent necessarily that we want to be, and that we're wasting so much time with alcohol, we're maybe putting it above the kids sometimes. So we don't take that all important time to treat ourselves properly. I got someone this week just to take a bubble bath that she hadn't done in the year that she'd been in her house. And I was like, do you know what? You have saved this money, this time, from not drinking in the last week alone. So go take a bubble bath, and it's completely guilt-free because you can go and take that time for yourself. And it's really important for the kids to see you do that. It's important for them to see their mum or their dad carving out time for themselves. That's the kind of role model that you want to be. I think personally, that's how I want my kids, when their parents, that they're not completely giving their all the time because they're drinking and they feel guilty about it.
Yeah, exactly. And that leads us into self-care, which is another big motivator. Yeah, that can keep you motivated, feeling like that you've got a bit of purpose and that you're working on yourself and that you're growing as an individual.
Yeah. And again, with that, success breeds motivation. When it comes to any self-care ritual, whether it's mindfulness, meditation, fitness, what you're eating, your nutrition, when you start to do it, no one is perfect at anything, are they? When they start, it's so easy to look at somebody and think, oh, they're an overnight success, but there is no such thing as overnight success. Even for like meditation and mindfulness, it's practice makes permanent. As Judy would say, practice makes permanent.
Yeah, and not perfect, because it's also very easy to look at people, like, you know, people might listen to this podcast or watch us on YouTube and think, oh, well, their lives must be perfect, but we have our own struggles, our own challenges. You know, being alcohol free doesn't make life perfect, but it does enable you to deal with the challenges so much easier.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but my mindset has completely changed. And I'm very honest about this. I feel like I was a smug, sober person in the first year because I was like, you just need to build the life that you don't want to escape from. And then my life felt like fell to shit. It just like everything fell apart. And actually, the true thing is that you want to build a you that you don't want to escape from, a feeling of peace within you. And how that looks to you is not necessarily how it looks to other people. Your goals are not the same as comparison keeps us stuck and perfectionism. I don't know if you feel that your mindset has really changed when it's come to sobriety and your goals.
Yeah, I think I was quite similar. I was initially very motivated. I think some of it was ego driven.
Yeah.
Wanting to impress some of the people who ran sobriety groups and show them that I could do it, that sort of thing, which served me. But actually, I knew I had some work to do around kind of killing off a big part of that ego because it also had lots of negative behaviors attached to it. So I think my motivation has massively shifted around caring for myself more, which I, even when I came in, even in the first year, a bit like you, I don't think I was truly caring for myself.
No, and I think that's the thing with sobriety, that if people focus on actually, do you know what, I'm human, I'm going to give myself grace and I'm going to be kind, I'm going to not compare myself to another sober person, not compare myself, especially with the sober influences that have popped up in the last year alone. Your sobriety is personal to you. Your self-care is personal to you. You do what you need to do to make it through each day and to be happy, because that's the most important thing, is being at peace and feeling happy.
Yeah, and I think you need to be careful with the media that you digest. You know, some people definitely want to portray that they're living a perfect life, and you know, I don't. It's not always healthy. Just watch out for news media, social media.
Yeah, 100%.
One to watch. Ashley said about the comment about looking at wine when you go to the supermarket. She said you avoid contact.
Simon, I didn't hear anything you just said.
Sorry, I said I was having some connection issues. So Ashley was just saying about the comment around seeing wine in the supermarket or alcohol in the supermarket. I said it was like seeing the ex. And she said, make sure you avoid eye contact when that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it is that kind of sinking feeling of, oh my God, I'm just going to pretend and go the other way. 100%.
I think another thing that's really important and also motivating, again, sorry for having a few connection issues. I did mention it at the start, but we're going to get through. And another thing that was definitely a big motivator for me was becoming honest and having integrity, which wasn't something that I'd done when I was drinking. And actually it made me feel really proud of myself and good about myself. And I think that's an important trait and an important area to work on, is honesty and integrity.
Yeah, and remind me, because you were talking about the honesty last week and I can't quite remember what it was that you were talking about, and somebody else asked it, you had done something, there was a book that you read.
Yeah, there's a book called Radical Honesty, and it really is quite a simple concept of not bending the truth, not withholding, not telling white lies, not exaggerating, and not telling big lies. We definitely don't want any of those. And actually, it sounds really easy, but when you start to practice it and bring it into your day to day, you realize how much you're doing these things, and it makes you feel so much lighter. Life is just easier. It does mean you have to face into some uncomfortable things at times, where you might have to say no or tell someone that, you know, you don't want to share something, it's not appropriate or whatever. But yeah, it's a really, for me, it's been a life-changing way to live.
Well, the thing that really struck me last week was saying about the honesty with yourself, that radical honesty with yourself. And almost it's changed when we talked about beliefs that we have around alcohol and that kind of mindset around alcohol. And we talk a lot with people about their limiting beliefs, being more honest about those limiting beliefs, and really digging much deeper, honest with yourself, is maybe I don't feel I'm worthy of putting myself first instead of alcohol. Maybe I don't believe that I can do it. Digging really deep into those truths and be radically honest. It's a really uncomfortable place to be, but I think you can achieve so much more when it comes to motivation and mindset if you're brutally honest with yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And as you say, I think the honesty starts with number one. It starts with ourselves, and then that same approach with friends, family, the people around us.
Yeah. And then it links into the integrity, as you said, and that just feeds your confidence and your motivation to be more like that, to set your boundaries and to make sure you're doing what's right for you.
Yeah. And just to be clear as well, integrity, because when I was drinking, I did not know what integrity was. So I'm just going to explain what it is if my connection doesn't cut out. Integrity is quite simply doing what you say you're going to do. Mm-hmm. Pretty much that. I mean, yeah. There's a bit more to it, but for me that, and again, it's quite easy to say, do you know what, as of today, I'm going to be a person of integrity.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And I mean, so important when it comes to kids, doesn't it? Kids, partners, how they trust you, how they view you, but how you view yourself as well. If you know that you're going to follow through, and sobriety, it does keep people stuck so often when they don't follow through with what they say they're going to do. I'm going to start that diet. I'm going to give up drinking. And then it keeps on kind of with relapse. That's why mindset is really, really important.
Yeah. And a big thing for my mindset as well, actually, was getting involved in the community. You know, I read Annie Grace's book at the start, This Naked Mind. I felt really excited. I wanted to be part of this. I realized it was kind of bigger than me, and I wanted to get involved. And I knew I was sort of being welcomed into this new community, this new space that seemed so exciting. So there's definitely that honeymoon period that can make you kind of excited and give you motivation for a period of time. But also there's that kind of sustaining it afterwards.
Yeah, 100%. And quite often people's addiction or whatever it is gets moved over to this kind of community, doesn't it? And you realize it, your eyes are open to this amazing sober community, and it does become addictive, but in a really good way, because connection just sees you through. We all bounce off each other and passing ideas on, and it's, you are who you hang out with. So when you start hanging out with people who are motivated and driven, then you have like there's nothing conscious about it. You just kind of soak it all in. It's good energy.
Yeah, it really is. Marty's asked a question. Have you ever tried the AA meetings, and what's your opinions on them?
Okay, this is really interesting conversation. Actually, I'm not sure if it was him that I was having the conversation with. I've never been to AA. Have you been to AA, Simon?
No.
Okay, I don't know your opinions on them. My opinions is like, each to their own. If AA is the place where you find connection and you find people that help, and actually the way that it was set up, it was all about connection, isn't it? If you go back to how it was set up in the beginning, it's all about connection. However, some people don't like the religious aspect and the fact that it labels you as an alcoholic, and that label can keep you stuck from making a change.
Pretty much. My experience of it has been, and I've got the, as have you, the experience of a lot of people that you've worked with, mm-hmm. is that a lot of people view it negatively. I get the odd person who succeeds and has done really well with AA. A good friend of mine succeeded and won't hear a bad word said about it. I think you're right about the stigma element of it. It can also be quite male dominated. Obviously, it depends on the meetings that are near to you. So there can be a bit of a macho feel. Again, I've never been to a meeting, so this is just feedback that I've had from people. So I think you're right, Ellen. You know, you give it a try, you find out if it's a good fit for you. You might make some friends for life, and it might be the best thing that you've ever done. I certainly wouldn't dismiss it. And actually, a lot of the quit drinking books and programs and things like that, they loosely follow those 12
absolutely.
Steps.
Absolutely. Yeah, there is some great information that you can take away from the 12 steps. There is absolutely brilliant stuff in there. And in fact, I watched a really good film the other day called To the Bone. I don't know if you've seen it.
No.
And it's based on a kind of rehab center for people with eating disorders. And I loved the way that that was set up, because they were all there. And that, for me, that's how sobriety looks, of people living together and finding the beauty in life. And he was very much, it was Keanu Reeves who plays the psychologist in it, very much letting people choose to want to get better. And that is the beauty of, I think, the work that we do, is we're working with people who are choosing a different way, rather than they've got to a point where other people are saying, you have to make a choice now, you have to make a change. And it's so empowering to feel like, no, I've hit my rock bottom, however that looks, and now I'm making a choice.
Yeah, now I'm claiming back control.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. For anyone that's not seen To the Bone, definitely have a watch, because I think the whole kind of psychology behind that's really interesting.
Is it, and going back to the 12 steps as well, you know, one of them is to admit that you're powerless over alcohol. And whilst I wouldn't, if I was coaching with someone, get them to say, I'm powerless over alcohol, I certainly will get them to say, I want to claim back the power, which technically is the same thing, just the other way around.
It is. It's just... it's kind of negative versus positive, I feel. Yeah. Like, I want people to feel like they're being pulled towards sobriety rather than pushed towards it, I think.
Yeah, and like, I'm an alcoholic, I'm no longer an alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah, it's very, very simple changes. And to some people, it may seem the same thing, but it's absolutely not.
Yeah, precisely. Jake said, I did voice recordings after my heavy drinking sessions. I listened to them as a reminder to myself of how bad it made me feel, depression, anxiety, and a bad sleep, regrets, etc. That's a good motivator.
Yeah, absolutely. Jake, I would love for you to come to some of the Zoom meetings so that I can meet you.
I thought you were going to say, I'd love you to play your voice recordings. No. We could put them on the podcast.
But I know Jake keeps on, like, he's always on the podcast, but I'm like, I want to put a face to the name.
Yeah, come along, Jake. It'd be great to see you. Ashley said, Jake, that's a great idea. And others I've heard keep a photo on their phone of themselves from their drinking days that they want to remind them of who they don't want to be anymore.
Yeah, shit. Yeah. Are you going to show yours?
Yeah. If you're watching on YouTube, like, I keep this, although, hang on, there's loads of calendar notifications coming up. I keep a, oh, you can't really see it, but there's a photo of my son and I behind all the notifications. And it's, you know, from when we were in Tokyo, when I put alcohol ahead of him, this wonderful trip of a lifetime. First thing I did was in the supermarket buying booze. I was definitely putting alcohol at the front, and I just, no one would know what that photo means other than me. And no, it's just a reminder every time I pick my phone up.
It is really important to have that visual for you.
Yeah, totally. Catherine, who's watching live on YouTube, said, Hi, Simon and Ellen. I'm currently enrolled in the new 90-day accelerated The Path on This Naked Mind, making good progress. I really enjoy tuning into your podcast for additional motivation and ideas. Excellent. She said, thank you for all you do. And a big smiley face.
Fantastic. And congratulations on, like, taking the power back.
Yeah, totally. I'm actually doing a coaching session in This Naked Mind's alcohol experiment later today. So maybe I'll see you there. And I think the other thing to think about with motivation, and it's not something that you think is immediately motivating, but actually having a structure in your new found life, I think, is really important. And as you sort of settle into that structure, that sober routine, I think that helps you to breed more motivation. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, and I always recommend the Huberman Lab podcast. Ashley listened to it as well. Actually, I just listened to the same thing of his. He was saying about setting up the same habits. If you do them 3 or 4 days in a row, your body will start releasing that dopamine for that habit, and you're setting your energy levels up correctly for that. So it's really important that you're, it is with a little bit of grace, because again, life gets in the way, but having some kind of structure and some kind of routine so your body and your brain knows what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And that equally speaks to the point around tracking your progress, whether that's keeping a journal or just logging your mood on a daily basis. That is another motivator.
Yeah. And things like sleep and blood pressure and heart rate, like within 10 days or so, you will see all those things start to drop. It really is really important to have data points all the way along so you stay motivated. And the same in long-term sobriety, because the shininess, it kind of starts to fade slightly and you forget all these gains that you've made. And to keep on looking back, I went out for the day yesterday and down to the river and we had lunch. And like, it's easy to forget. Back in my drinking days, I would have never done that. Lunchtime would have been drinking because the weather's out, you know, the sun's out. It would have been drinking down by the river, and I would have been, I don't want to stay too long because I can't drive after I've had a few drinks, and I want to get home so that I can start drinking. So that day would have been cut short, instead of like, ah, do you know what? I can lay here and I can relax. And if it's 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night and we go home, that's cool, because alcohol doesn't even factor into my brain.
Yeah, you can just take your time and just enjoy and just be.
Just be, simply be. I love it.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody in the week about, they were quite similar to me. They're constantly on the go and flitting from one thing to another. I have an excuse because I've got ADHD, so it kind of gets me off the hook. But I often think there's a big difference between a human being and a human doing. And I think many of us fall into the human doing. We're constantly doing and rarely just being like that, just being.
Yeah. And again, it's just another crap culture that we've built up as society, is that we need to hustle all the time. And if you're not multitasking, and if you're not doing this, and if you're not, and comparison and social media, it all plays into it. But actually, that's really not the meaning of life, is it? The meaning of life really is being present in the moment, and enjoying, especially with the kids. The childhood goes by like that. So being, simply being with them is really important.
Yeah. And that leads nicely as well to just also staying motivated by working on other areas of your life, and think, you know, paying attention to whether your brain is in the future, in the past, or whether you're really in the moment right now, which we've touched on before. But that can be a really big one for preventing triggers from creeping in. Just you sometimes you have to do it over and over. Yep. Bring yourself back to the now. But it's a new habit, and it sticks.
It is. And I'd love to get Helen on here sometimes, who's my friend, who's a mindfulness coach. And it always sounded really kind of airy fairy to me, mindfulness, but I guarantee it's things that I put into practice, and they have got me through some situations where I thought I was going to have an anxiety attack. And mindfulness and bringing myself back to the moment has just been key to getting myself through those moments.
I would completely agree with that. And mindfulness, which again, I didn't practice when I was drinking. I did the odd meditation, but it was just now and then. But last year, I woke up one morning with a terrible pain in my stomach. And long, long story short, it turned out it was my appendix. Yeah. I went to A&E, big queue outside. I was in agony, and I had to wait, I think, 18 hours before they finally operated on me. And I was, you know, my appendix were on the verge of bursting. And actually, I used mindfulness and just staying in the moment to actually help me through the pain. Yeah. I mean, it didn't make it go away.
No, and I did. I had my first two births, like, it sounds stupid, but I used to be, well, I still am, into yoga a lot and taking the breath, bringing the breath back. And first two births, like, literally no epidural, no gas and air, nothing. It was all about the breathing, taking the breath to the stomach and being present in the moment. And I remember the nurses, the two midwives of the second birth, were just like, that was textbook. That is how we want it to be, like, when we give birth. And it is. If you can control your breath, you really can control your emotions, which, yeah, is a huge trigger in sobriety, isn't it? It can really, really, these overwhelming emotions when we first give up can feel like they're never going to end.
That's, yeah, exactly that. Well, I think I can feel another podcast episode coming on. Pain-free births with Ellen.
Pain-free births. Well, I'd just like to say I wasn't too smug, because then it all went pot to pot with Oliver, and I ended up with emergency cesarean. So there was absolutely all the drugs with him.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's fair enough. What else have we got? I'll just look, reading a few other comments. Ashley said, I've heard people mention that AA versus other programs and groups is just about your personality and what speaks to you. Some aren't attracted to admitting we're powerless or putting yourself down, or in the hands of a higher power. But whatever works, just do it. Try it all. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah, and I think everything is progress anyway. If you go to AA and it doesn't work for you, just the fact that you are there is a massive step. So maybe that doesn't work for you, but you will go on and you'll find something that does. And you keep on doing that. Finding out what doesn't work for you is just as important as finding out what does work for you.
Yeah, that's so true. Sometimes it takes multiple attempts to find something that's a good fit, but that's
why learning to fail at things and learning to fail well is really important, because as soon as you go it head on at start again, it comes back to this idea of perfectionism, doesn't it? We don't have to be right and be perfect at each time, and going in and going, actually, this isn't for me, that is still progress.
Yeah, exactly. It totally is. And I guarantee, even if you went to one meeting, you'll learn something.
Yeah.
It could be that you learn that it's not a good fit.
It's not for you.
Jakob said, hi, Ellen and Simon. I would never swap those fresh, happy hangover mornings for the most expensive cocktail. Every time I'm triggered, I think about the next day and the progress I've made.
Yeah. 100%. Love it.
Yeah, exactly. And Catherine said, great reminder, Jakob. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, and keep on, again, mindfulness, take and gratitude is so important. Keep on marking down, like, what are you grateful for on your sobriety journey, and not just on your sober journey, in life, because I don't know about you, Simon, but I started being mindful of all things around me, a great sunset, a great sunrise, like just standing with the sun on my face. It sounds stupid maybe to some people, but finding beauty in every day, even when life can be falling down around you, you can always find some moment to be grateful for.
Yeah, exactly. There's a brilliant video by Tony Robbins, who, he's not for everybody, he's quite brash, but he talks about, where's the good in this? So mm-hmm. even, you know, when things are going wrong, where's the good in this? Because mm-hmm. generally there's some gold in there somewhere, even if it's a lesson or something like that.
Oh, people, yeah. Again, it's that thing of look for the helpers. That's what we've had such a hard time here. And it would be easy for me and the kids to be really down on things. But actually, look at all these people who've come to our aid. Look at these people that love us. And there is a good in every single situation.
Yeah, there really is. Catherine's just mentioned, she said she recommends a book, Breath, The New Science of a Lost Art by James Nestor. I'm halfway through that book. I started it this week. It turned up, came through the letterbox from Amazon. Absolutely brilliant. It talks about breathing properly and the power of breathing properly, nose breathing instead of mouth breathing, what yep. that actually causes. There's a lot of stuff in there that I just did not know. And I'm finding myself trying to,
oh no, as you're saying that, I'm like, for anybody that is thinking about it with your breath, we unlearn the art of breathing. Like, from the moment that we're born, we take that first breath and then all these things happen to us and we stop breathing correctly. So anyone that's feeling anxious, my go-to is just hands on the stomach, and for a few seconds just try and breathe into your hands. And it sounds silly, but try and take the breath down into your tummy, close your eyes and breathe for a few minutes.
Yeah, exactly. And a couple of people just talking about sort of programs and groups that are more targeted to women. So Ashley obviously mentioned Sobriety Sisterhood, which you run, mm-hmm. Sober Mum Squad, Sober Sisters, which is spelled S-I-S-T-A-H-S, Zero Proof Women. Any other women's groups you'd recommend? Or
I think they're pretty much all of them. I mean, there is something out there for everybody. And that's, Ashley has tried definitely a few and given some feedback on a few. They're all so different. So again, my advice would just be to see what fits for you. Sometimes it might not even be based around sobriety. It might be something else that you need, whether that's yoga or climbing or running or you know, something else. And with regards to therapy, everything that we do, we can build our own rehab, can't we? We can put it all together and put this package together, and see what works for us.
Sober Girl Society is quite a good one as well, although it's a very big group. They've got a lot of people. Millie Gooch runs
Millie there. Gooch, okay, yeah.
And there's a book and a journal that goes with it. But I have to say Sobriety Sisterhood's my favourite. I was made an honorary member of Sober Girl Society and Sobriety Sisterhood as well.
So yeah, I was going to say, come with us. My thing is, and this might sound stupid, I get real imposter syndrome. So I don't like to compare myself to others. And I don't like that whole social media thing. So I don't actually check out too much what other people are doing. I know what I want to build, and I know how I want to help people change, and the type of people I tend to attract are people who are kind of same kind of age as me or in same situation to a certain extent. So I'm very kind of like, I don't like to compare myself because it makes me feel like crap.
And you made a really good point as well around other groups that aren't necessarily all about sobriety. And around the same time I quit, I'd invested in a Peloton bike, and there's actually a Facebook group, the Sober Peloton Squad. It's got like 3,000 members in it. So everybody in the group is obviously sober. Yeah. You can connect with people and you can ride with them on the Peloton bike. So there's lots of groups that are offshoots of sober groups with specific interests. And then there's groups that are, you know, just might fit with a particular interest that aren't about alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, that's some good stuff there. It'd be good to perhaps get some of the people who run some of these, obviously we run our communities, but perhaps some of the people on who run sort of perhaps more sort of specific groups, and you know, we're going to get some guests on soon, aren't we?
People are very bored of us.
Yeah. Yeah, we can only take it so far. We will get some guests.
Although I feel like we can talk about it forever.
Yeah, and we will. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Selena's on as well from the north of England. Hi, Catherine Selena. Said, Simon, how awesome you're reading that book right now. Halfway through. It's the best book I've read this year. And I've read a few.
I'm halfway through Chimp Paradox, which I'm loving.
I've not read that.
Have you not?
No.
I would thoroughly recommend it.
Is that about the chimp part of the brain?
Yeah, it's really interesting to me, obviously, with my husband having kind of mental health problems, or ex-husband, and describing all the things that happen to the frontal lobe, especially when you have mental health problems. So it is interesting from that to see, okay, this is why there's certain reactions to certain situations, because that rational part of the brain has gone.
Yeah, and this is, I think, on that sober journey as well, reading those books that aren't about sobriety but help you understand yourself better. Yeah. So important. It just keeps that growth moving forward.
It does. And I love this kind of thing, the chimp paradox, because I, again, going back to core values, rational kind of and level-headed is one of the things that I really strive to be. And I hate that irrational part of me. I hate reacting quickly and saying the wrong thing, because then it makes me full of regret and shame. And that keeps me stuck in this cycle. So learning, again, being able to say, right, okay, well, mindfulness techniques can keep me kind of rational and take some breaths and come away from a situation saying, oh, like, let me have a think about this and I'll get back to you. And then coming back with a rational response rather than straight off with my chimp, my naughty chimp in my brain.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a bit like we were talking before, the primitive part of the brain versus the wise ambassador part of the brain.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me going forward, it is really important self-development that I am projecting how I want to be, because then it feels like you're setting boundaries around people that are draining you or that make you feel irrational, and yeah, I can go forward how I want to portray myself.
Yeah, exactly. Great point. Marty said, quick question, when's your new book available? So we've got the next book, my anxiety book, is out at the moment. I don't want to do a
which book.
Yeah, there's quite a few. But the one I'm really looking forward to is a book called Rock Bottom and Rising, which is 21 stories from people in my community. And Ellen's name is on the front cover of that one as well, actually. And that comes out in December. And there's also a journal coming out with it, the Sober Life Journal. So I think that's probably one of the books I've been most excited about coming out, because it's a community. Everybody's, so much work's gone into it and passion. Yeah. And the stories are just so inspiring. I know it sounds a bit cliche, but they really are brilliant.
Yeah, I have no doubt it will help so many people just hearing all these different, because sobriety, we arrive at sobriety from all different kind of paths. So hearing how other people have arrived is, yeah, it's so important to people.
Yeah, we've got a real mixed bag in there as well. Then I've done like a coach, sort of sobriety coach commentary along it, after each person's story, sort of pointing out what was going on and how they sort of moved through it. So yeah, really excited about that one.
Great.
Right.
And when is that out?
That's out in December. It's got a little while yet.
Yeah, a little while, but great Christmas present.
Perfect for Christmas.
Get it. Good timing, Simon.
Yeah, get it under the tree. Okay, we better wrap up. So we'll be back again live on YouTube, and obviously if you're listening back on all the usual podcast locations, and we will see you all again soon.
Thank you. Bye
bye for now.
Bye.